This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are still talking with Alexandra Kazarian. She's one of the best criminal defense attorneys in the country with Garagos and Garagos. And we're still talking about the Daybells. We're just recently diving into some logistics here. Logistics about what could possibly happen in this case against Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. So we could run into, very realistically here then, midway through this trial or at the beginning or towards the end, could they at some point say, look, we don't think she's competent? Could her attorneys flat out say, look, we're trying to have this conversation with her. Things mm-hmm. don't seem to be adding up. I know we're like halfway through this trial. Would that just end up just killing the trial, basically be a mistrial, and then they would have to start at square one again if she ever went back to competency? Or would they just put her away at that point as, you know, you're incompetent to stand trial? Or would they wait a certain amount of time and continue to reevaluate?
If she's found to be incompetent, then she goes to a mental health treatment facility until she regains competency. If the doctors there decide she regained competency, she comes back. Mm-hmm. They reset the trial. If in the middle of trial, there's a few prongs. Does she have the ability to understand and appreciate the proceedings in front of her? Mm-hmm. That's why we don't charge children, like 5-year-olds, with crimes, because mm-hmm. they will never be able to understand and appreciate what is happening to them. So they're not competent to stand trial. Okay. And also, even if she were, and I've had this happen many times, and it's very frustrating, because sometimes you have to remind the court that there's a whole nother prong here. I've had clients who are extremely intelligent, and they've been mentally ill for a long time. So they know how to articulate, how to speak, how to respond to people. So it seems like they are competent because they are talking appropriately in court, right? But then there's a whole nother prong. Are you able to assist in your defense? And there, so both of those prongs have to be true. And I've had clients who will stay in court. No, I'm not going to waive time for trial because I have a constitutional right to have a speedy trial, and I'm invoking my speedy trial rights. That's complex. Mm-hmm. That takes intelligence to understand and say that. But then they'll say, and I want my trial now because, and then it's very obvious that they're going off on some tangent that is not tethered to reality. Mm-hmm. And when I ask them, okay, but wait, did you assault this police officer? It wasn't a police officer. It was somebody who was coming to take my blood because my blood is worth $1 billion. And this is a conspiracy by the government.
Sure.
And okay. So now you are not assisting me in your defense. You're not able to help me here. And so that itself can be a reason to declare somebody incompetent and send them over. So yes, it can happen over and over and over again. It does. Yeah. I had one murder trial that went on for 12 years.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
So it isn't just that they have to understand that they are in court, that there are proceedings. They have to be able to competently, in a few different ways, check the box that they're there, if you will. They can understand they're going to trial. They can understand they're being charged with these things. But if their logic as to why they're being charged with those things doesn't match reality, then that could be deemed mentally incompetent. So, for example, Lori, you can tell when she's had these hearings and such, she always has this real bizarre, I know more than you smirk going on mm-hmm. her face. And I just talked with some behavioral analysts, like literally right before we started talking about that exact thing. And it makes you wonder, because she is able to seem to turn it on and turn it off in front of who she needs to sound competent. When she was being interviewed by police initially, she didn't say anything to them about zombies or her kids being possessed or anything like that. But meanwhile, later in the day, when she's talking to a friend, this is what she totally believes. But she knew that if she presented that in front of the police, she'd be looked at as batshit crazy. So she knew at that moment. But if she still believes that sort of thing, it makes me wonder, would she be presenting that to her attorney of those sort of beliefs, or would she continue to just turn it on, turn it off, or selectively speak in order to appear competent? And I don't know that it would work out, good for her either way.
Well, mental health isn't linear. I mean, you can have, you know, if any of us have ever known anybody that has severe mental health issues, they are fine one day and just not there the next, or even hour to hour. Mm-hmm. And so it's the way it works. It's natural for that to happen. Now, sometimes people can be this disturbed and then go on a regimen of medication that goes on honestly for like a year or 2 years, to the point where the chemicals in their brain have realigned, mm-hmm. and they can be lucid for a longer amount of time. That's what you would hope for, is that at that point they are lucid enough to understand and appreciate what's happening in court. And I have had those cases, and they are devastating. They are so, it's just heartbreaking, because the person who is lucid and understands what's happening in court just cannot believe what they're being accused of. The mm-hmm. violence that's inflicted upon their own family members, it is almost too hard for people who are really in this situation and who have come out of it to believe that they were at any point capable of this kind of horrendous behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's just been heartbreaking when I've seen parents who have killed their children 25 years later coming to court for a progress report. And it's just the absolute worst day of their life over and over and over again, because they are lucid, they are controlled, and they are faced with the fact that they did this to somebody that they love. So it's a terrible experience.
When you have something like that take place, and let's say at the end of Lori's trial, she's found guilty, but there is that caveat there where it was reason of insanity, and she's going to go to a mental institution, not prison. Is there opportunities there at that point in the future to retry the case in a way where she's deemed more competent, or she's demonstrated for many years that she doesn't subscribe to those beliefs anymore? Or if it's a life sentence, does it stay a life sentence no matter what, no matter how competent she becomes?
So she can't be convicted if she's incompetent.
Okay.
So if there's incompetency and she goes to a mental health treatment facility, lockdown treatment facility, for treatment until she regains competency, mm-hmm. then there is a possibility that she never regains competency and she stays there for life. It's not a life sentence. There's a review period every few months, mm-hmm. you know, checking in, but it could stay that way forever. It's not a sentence, okay. but it's a treatment that is so in felony cases, you can only be in that situation until you reach the maximum punishment for that crime. So for example, if it's a robbery and the robbery maximum is 6 years, you can only be in that situation for 6 years. You can't be locked up for more time than being convicted and sentenced to the maximum crime would allow for.
Okay.
Now, there are other procedures at the end of that 6 years for the state to come in and ask the court to be a conservator and keep them on a civil hold in custody because they're a danger to society. If you are so mentally disturbed that you have committed acts of violence during your mental health break, there is a process for a civil confinement. But as far as the criminal case is concerned, the case is not dismissed. It stays open. But even if she were to come back competent and convicted and given the maximum, she's got time served. Here, there's no maximum on a murder, right? The death penalty is the maximum in this situation. So it could be an indefinite period where she stays there and remains incompetent. If she regains competency and comes back, then you have a regular trial. If she argues that she was not guilty by reason of insanity at the time, she would go right back to that facility. And then they would determine if she is no longer a threat to society because she has recovered from her mental health break.
With this case already having so many crazy twists and turns, it really makes you wonder what the next ones are going to be now that we know all these possibilities.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Alexandra Kazarian, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insight as always. Very, very much appreciated. Don't miss any of our discussions here. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss those updates, breaking news stories, and we're going to have a lot of it for you starting next week when the Daybell case gets off the ground. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.